All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
All right, here we go.
This is exciting. Not only is it my first time video recording.
Yeah.
Right? Like our first time trying out the video recording. But also, this is kind of like, and this is so special for our listeners, watchers, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the first time we're hanging out. Like, I mean, we've had lots of phone convos, but this is like the first time I get to see you while you're talking. It sounds yes. So bizarre. So what's going on? I mean, I have a whole list to dive into, but let's see let's check in with you.
Oh my God. Well, I've always known I'm a homebody, but I was gone all week last week and the trip just started off rocky. And usually that's how it goes with like family vacations.
Oh yeah. The family.
But everything's fine. I mean, it's nothing that anyone can't handle, you know, but I'm just like so glad to be here, which is like, you know, neither here nor there, but I'm just like, I need a vacation from this vacation. And my first day back home, I was like, I just need a nap. I just need to sleep. And I think I slept until like 10 a.m. my first day home.
That's awesome. That's yeah. You just need to like decompress.
Yeah.
It's just, it's family, man. It's even if nothing happens, right? Even if there's not like a fight or anything, it's just like little things happen or come up in conversation. And yeah, it's just tiring. Family's tiring.
Yeah. And so I was dealing with my mom and I mean, I'll always take care of my family, of course, but I'm just like, shouldn't my mom be taking care of me? Like, I feel like I'm a little... I wasn't ready for it to be at this point in my life where like the roles start to reverse a little bit. And so I was just like, oh, this is another like mentally exhausting thing. And so, I mean, it's no big deal, but it was just one of those things where I started to notice. And so I was like, all right, it's just one of those things where you have to mentally prepare yourself. And so I know that I'm the one that's going to have to take on that role because my brother's not going to do it. He's just not.
Well, so let's unpack this a little bit. I feel like this is again, our journeys together.
Yeah.
I swear. I'm definitely, I've been going through this thing with my mom, just in general through like this later half of my 30s. I definitely feel like you that I feel a sense of obligation for taking care of people that I care about. But also, we don't want to burn out.
Yeah.
Not yet. We're not that. I know some mother daughters are like, oh, we're best friends. Yeah, not here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard it's a thing. Some people say it's a thing.
I think that's weird. I think that's really weird.
Yeah. Or like you guys take each other everywhere. Like, okay, that's nice to include each other in activities, but I don't want to bring my mom when I'm going out with the girls.
Yeah. I've heard it. I've heard of it too. Like, I mean, I think a mom should be a mom. I don't mind being friendly with your mom, but I think it's weird when someone's like, my mom is my best friend. We talk 20 times a day. I'm like,
I don't really want to talk about vibrators with my mom. Sorry, mom.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's like a clear line there, you know?
Yeah. There are things that everyone's done in their childhood that now as an adult, like enough time has gone by where you're like, you start sharing those stories. And do you ever tell your mom like, oh yeah, that was totally me. Like, yeah, I did that. Or are you like, I will never share that with my parent?
I don't know how much she knows. Let's put it that way. And for now, there's definitely things I've done that I'm still going to plead the fifth on.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing illegal, Okay. Nothing. Yeah. Everything is alleged here, guys. No, seriously, nothing that I know people have funny stories about, like, oh, that time I took mom's car out.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely am just not ready to be like, hey, mom, do you think that's funny?
Yeah.
Because, like, she's not going to find it funny. I think she's not ready. She's not there yet.
Not yet. There's a couple things where my mom has asked me, because my brother has come clean about it. And I don't know if this is true or if my brother said it for shock value. He's very spiteful. I think he's a Scorpio. So he apparently told her when he was a kid, I don't know what the circumstances were, but he said that he had pissed inside the, like, alcohol bottles, and my parents had always gotten, like, a 5 o'clock drink every day. And so my mom was like, do you think that's true? Do you think he really peed in, like, the vodka bottles or whatever? And I was like, think of the logistics of that, first of all.
Unless you're putting it into, like, a brandy or a cognac or a whiskey, first of all, you'd have to be supremely hydrated.
Right.
For you not to notice the color difference if you put it in vodka or gin, right? So the logistics there are already supremely difficult. And as a teenage boy, I question, not that I'm judging your brother, but just as teenagers in general, I would question how smart they are to go through with that. Much more likely for you to put it under the faucet, right? And just put some water in it like a normal teenager.
Right. I think he just watered it down because him and his friends drank it. I don't think he pissed in it. But my mom, she like was like, do you think he really did that? What were you guys talking about that this came up?
Yeah. First of all, how did you get to there? How did you get to him pissing in your liquor bottles? I want to know.
Is he admitting to those things that he did as a child? And so there was one time I came home and it was late at night and I was pulling into the driveway and my mom was bringing me home and I had been drinking and I guess like I was motion sick and right at the like end of the driveway, I was like, I'm going to be sick. And so I opened the door and I started throwing up in the yard. And so it had killed all the grass in the yard. Oh. My mom just shut the door, like got me into my room and we never discussed it at all. She never told anyone. Weeks later, days later, my dad is in the yard doing yard work, like going to Home Depot. He's having a hell of a time because he thinks that there's like moles in the yard creating tunnels and killing the grass. And he's upset that there's so much dead grass. And he thinks like the neighbor's dogs are pissing in the grass. And he's like doing all these different things to get the grass back because I guess I did some damage. And I never told him until like 20 years later. I'm like, no, that was me. I drank too much as a child.
So talking about things that we do that we need to confess to. Let me tell you about something. And this is hilarious because Ron is my husband. And although he plays the podcast, he most often plays it when he's in the car or when he's doing other things. And I feel like he doesn't always catch all the bits and pieces. Like he gets the main crime story, but he doesn't always listen to our chit chat, right? It just sounds like little chickens to him.
This is important. This is good stuff, Ron.
Oh, well, listen, because if he doesn't listen to this part, he's not going to realize what happened. So I accidentally gaslit Ron. So what happened is months and months ago, I changed the living room around, you know, moved furniture, hung up new pictures.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in the living room a little while. I don't know what it was, 2 weeks ago or whenever I texted you. And he's sitting there. And just the way the living room's positioned, he starts like looking around like he's confused. And it wasn't like a night we were drinking or anything. This is stone cold sober. So this was absolutely just made my day. And he's like, hey, did you move that picture? And I'm like, no. I'm being 100% honest. I have not moved anything recently. It was months ago. I'm like, no, I didn't move anything. I don't know why, but sometimes when, even though I'm telling the truth, I will, if something is happening and it's like interesting, even though it might be something serious, like I'll start to laugh.
Yeah.
People will think I'm lying about something, but if I just find it amusing, I'll giggle. So I started kind of like laughing and smiling because I just thought it was hilarious that 4 or 5 months later, this man is finally noticing that his living room is different. Like, wow, that's how much time you spend working. Okay. So he's just now noticing that all the pictures were moved. And he sees me laughing and he's like, are you fucking with me? And I'm like, no. He's like, did you move them? I'm like, yeah. I don't. And so now I don't know what came over me, but I started like fucking around with him. I'm like, I don't know. Did I? How long do you think that picture's been there? And he legitimately to this day does not know whether or not I moved those pictures. And he's like, I think you're fucking around with me. He's like, I think you just moved those pictures today. And he's like, I think you just did this and you never told me you were waiting to see how long it would take for me to note. I'm like, he concocted this whole story. I'm like, Ron, just so you know, I'm very flattered that you think that I'm such a genius that back in December, I had the foresight to plan a prank at this level that I would not, because I have no patience. I have a little patience, but not that much, that I would launch a prank and then not say anything for 5 months waiting for you to catch on. Even now, sometimes if we're just like in the house or in the living room, I will purposefully just like stare up at the pictures and like look over at him and like give him a little wink. He's like, just tell me if you move them. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. And even though I am honest to God telling him the truth, because I'm coming off so honestly, he doesn't believe me.
It's that little like, that little giggle.
I've been completely honest, 100%, but I'm getting such a kick out of, number one, gaslighting a man. Highly recommend. Chef's kiss. So now I'm like, but I got to do it real, like, because he's still like on edge about it. So I'm like, I got to lay low.
You got to like move one of the pictures now or just like change the frame or something.
So that's how I accidentally am gaslighting Ron. Truly something that came to me. The universe brought that to me. I did not plan that. It was just like it landed in my lap. I'm taking advantage. I want to thank you. I watched Candy on Hulu. Did you finish it?
I just finished it yesterday, actually.
Wild. Absolutely bonkers. I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Absolutely did not turn out how I thought it would.
Me either.
I thought... the show ended and I just was like staring at my TV with my mouth open. Like,
I was like, are you kidding me? I wanted to try and look Candy up is what I wanted to do. But then when I found out that
I didn't get to it.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to it.
I will get to it, but I'm real interested to know like all the ins and outs of that case.
Yeah.
Cause that whole thing from start to finish was a fucking roller coaster. Go watch it. I was delighted when Justin Timberlake finally made his appearance.
Oh my God. I had no idea it was him until I heard his voice.
I knew before starting the series that I was going to see him at some point because I had overheard that much. Like, but I had never heard as which character. But then I forgot about it because of the story and he doesn't show up right away. And then so when he finally popped in, I'm like, oh, damn. And I'm like, if I hadn't heard that he was going to make an appearance, I would not have picked him out.
No, not at all.
I absolutely would not have known it was him. But I think everybody did an amazing job, all of them. Candy's husband, the woman, I don't know her name, but she was in Yellow Jackets, the one who plays Betsy.
Oh, she was really good. She reminded me of like Winona Ryder.
Very Winona vibes, yeah. Like early Winona vibes. She, if you get a chance, I think it was on Showtime, she did the show Yellow Jackets, mm-hmm. about the soccer players. And I don't think it's based on a true story, but it might be, about soccer players that got stranded. Like they had like an airplane crash after a game or something.
Okay.
And they got stranded in the mountains for like months and had to resort to some very violent things. And she plays one of the kids who survives the incident.
Okay.
The kinds of things that they hid about what they did when they were in those woods. And it was really good. And she plays the main character as the adult. Excellent. Excellent. And she looks much prettier. In Candy, that haircut did her no favors, but very 80s, right? Like very.
Oh, the hairstyles. The hairstyles are so good in this show.
Jessica Biel, I mean, it didn't look like a wig. It looked like they permed her hair that short. Because even in the shower scene and stuff, it just looks like her own wet hair. Didn't look like a wig.
It was something. It was something.
Intense. So I highly recommend Candy if you guys haven't watched it. That's mostly all for me. Other than I need to 100% give a shout out to our favorite editor of all time, Stephen Ray Morris. Snaps for Stephen. Stephen, yeah, has been on the tweets, just hilarious and very responsive.
I love him.
Answering our tweets. It's been great. Guys, go on Twitter and first of all, follow Stephen Ray Morris because his posts are part adorable, part awesome if you're into anything nerdy like dinosaurs, cats, Star Wars, science, all those good things. Yeah. And then just like pure awesomeness. He's just fabulous. Mm-hmm. His posts are just hilarious. So
he's such a good egg. Like
he is, so right? Like you want to like bring him home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's so good.
So Stephen, always responding to our tweets. So Stephen Ray Morris is our new best friend, officially, just because we say so.
Yeah.
It's on the internet.
We adopted him.
He's responded to at least three of our tweets, so.
That's how you make it official. It's internet official.
That's it. So, yeah, that's it for me. Do we have?
There's a couple things I've been listening to, like podcasts, that are not true crime related, that I just wanted to listen to, like, stories, like, in the background while I did stuff. Hi, Gogs.
Hey.
Are you trying to figure out where the sound is coming from? That's Natalia.
Hey, Goggles. I love it. We're just going to see like a cat tail like coming off. I love it.
It's called Odd Trails. And it's really good because they do like little stories that people submit. Yes, you can sit here. Just sit wherever you please. But they'll do like four or five little stories. Not necessarily each episode has like a running theme, but I think Andrew and I can't remember the other guy's name. It's going to kill me now. But anyways, Odd Trails. We'll put it in the show notes. Odd Trails. And they have like such soothing voices too. And that sounds really weird to say, but if you ever listen to a podcast and like the people's voices are like, I just can't listen to this. But their voices, I don't know. You can just like put the podcast on and like let it just run through episode to episode. I really like it. So just a little podcast recommendation.
Not true crime, but what do they like cover? What do they talk about?
So one episode had stories with it was talking about how their friend was possessed and talking about that kind of story. And wow. Another story was how their aunt thought they got saved in a situation by like a glitch in the Matrix. So it's all different, like totally different things.
Is it all like paranormal?
A lot of it is paranormal, but it's anything that has to do with like, just like anything that has to do with like oddities or interesting type things. This one had to do with ancient forest deities.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to check that out.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. So
fascinating.
You know. Yeah, lots of good stuff. So they cover everything, and every episode has, I mean, the story could just be like a little 2 minute, like, hey, this is something really interesting that I encountered. Or it could be like a 15 minute story of like something crazy that happened at a Girl Scout camp when I was growing up or when some kid was growing up. So, I mean, it's all different, and I like the variety. So it's good.
Nice. I'm going to definitely check it out.
All right, cool.
I always love throwing another podcast into the round. It's never too many.
No.
Never too many. Because you never know what you're in the mood for. I change it up.
I know.
Sometimes I get into one and I have to listen to like 15 of that episode, you know, of that podcast. And then sometimes I just want something completely different. Mix it up.
So my playlist is getting longer and longer, and then I'm just like, oh my God, I have to listen to this now. And now I have to listen to this. So the playlist is extending every week.
Yes. Yes. I have more episodes of interesting podcasts saved that I'm like, ooh, I got to listen to that. Even if podcasts that I don't follow, but that I saw an interesting episode on, and I'm like, oh, one day. And I feel like it's the bucket list that will never have a bottom. It's just, will forever go on and on.
The never ending.
It's fine. It's fine. It'll always be there.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, today I'm going to tell you the story of the TikTok killer.
Oh.
Yes. So first, before I go into it, today's sources, a big one, and if somebody wants to go ahead, add this to your podcast list, Serial Napper. It's one girl. I should know her name because I listen to her a lot. She has a very soothing voice. And I have her link. I'll put it in the show notes because she posts everything she does online through medium.com. And she posts up videos and everything. She does an excellent job. Also, I used a source from an independent Indian news media company called Unzip and a local San Diego news station called KUSI News. If you've been living under a rock, there is an app called TikTok. Stephanie and I are well acquainted with this app, as is most of the world. But if you don't know, TikTok is where millions of people, strangers from all over the world, can post videos up to 3 minutes of anything. It's incredibly addicting. And if you don't use it, I hate to tell you, but you're missing out on at least 30% of what everyone's talking about nowadays. I start at least one sentence a day where I say, this is a video I saw on TikTok. I saw something on TikTok that was about blah, blah, blah. And I feel like everybody else says the same thing to me. Like nobody even, I feel like when TikTok first started, people didn't want to admit to using it. So they would say like, oh, I heard it somewhere, but I don't remember where I heard it. But nobody even hides it anymore. People just straight up are like, yeah, I was scrolling TikTok for 6 hours. And I saw a video about this. So
for the past month, it's been my money don't jiggle, jiggle, it folds.
Absolutely. So half of all pop references currently being used at any given time are TikTok references.
Yep.
So certain common folk like you and I, Stephanie, we know that TikTok can be where people teach things, right? They can do educational videos. People do dancing videos, or people do things where This is going to sound weird. If you were not on TikTok, I'm going to try to explain this. You can get a clip of audio, and that clip of audio can be from a movie. It can be from a random person that recorded it. It doesn't even have to be someone famous saying something. And you can use that sound and make it sound like you're saying it. And I know that sounds weird and very unentertaining. But you have to watch how people apply this.
Yes.
Anyway, there was a TikTok user who made a following for himself. And his following was based on the fact that he would use clips of sound from gangster movies. And he would impersonate gangsters in these movies. So he would dress up like them, and he would do his makeup and his hair like them. And so he would do these little clips on TikTok, sort of recreating the scene from these movies. His name is, he's still alive, Ali Nasser Aboulaban. He's 29 years old, a Staten Island native. He grew up in Virginia. And he went by the TikTok handle Gin Kid. And Ali Aboulaban impersonated gangsters like Tony Montana. Apparently that was like his big one from Scarface. And he had almost 1 million followers, which I find incredible for just being able to pretend to be Tony Montana, which Al Pacino already did. Anyway.
Yeah. That's such a niche group.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had almost 1 million followers, like over 900,000. Very popular.
Yeah.
So Ali married his longtime girlfriend, Anna Marie. She supposedly also a well-known TikTok personality, although I was very frustrated to find almost zero information on her.
Weird.
I think because of what ends up happening, that a lot of it got scrubbed clean.
Okay.
I mean, his own account is gone, so you can't find any of his stuff anymore. I only know because of what the media has reported and my sources.
Okay.
I'm guessing that that information about her was once available. It's just not anymore.
Yeah.
From what I understand, she also was well known enough that they were making money off of TikTok. And they were making such a good income that they decided to move out to California.
Good for them. All right.
Yes. And they would do collaborative videos together. They did videos on each other's platforms. To the outside, it looked like they were both highly successful TikTok personalities. They were making money, enough so that they were making their living through TikTok, not working other jobs, and enough money that they moved out to California to like pursue these dreams of becoming, I guess, actors or using their fame in some way to like get into the business, right?
All for doing a Tony Montana impression.
All for just doing a Tony Montana impression. Kids, your dreams,
follow
they're
your
out
dreams,
there.
Kids.
You can do it. You can do anything. I would like to note, and I didn't do a lot of history on him because he's a piece of shit, but he did go to college and get a degree and have an IT job before TikTok became a thing. So they did have like normal lives.
Yeah.
And then they just happened to come upon what is now the biggest app ever and made a name. And him particularly, I guess, had the bigger following.
Okay.
So the two of them, they have a daughter together and they move out to California and they move into a high-rise luxury condominium.
Jesus.
Yes. To the outside eye, living a golden life. Behind the scenes, things were falling apart. Anna was telling her friends that she suspected Ali of cheating. And according to a later interview with Ali, he blames Anna for moving them to San Diego in the first place. He stated that moving changed their lifestyle and ruined their marriage. Ali said, and I quote, "This is the land of Taco Tuesday."
You know, when I get my, like, estate, that's what I'm calling my estate, the land of Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. I endorse that message 100%. All right. So take that as you will. He doesn't elaborate. So Ali blames Anna for what he said was partying too much. However, friends and family that were interviewed after the incident say that Ali was the one who changed. They said he was spending all the money. He was cheating on Anna with several different girls and that he was doing a lot of drugs. One friend, Louis Marinari, said on a TV interview, and this is funny because he used his hands when he's on this interview. I watched the interview and he does this. He says, "One day, Ali just, he pulls out this bag of coke, you know, not like a little bag, like a big bag." And he made this hand gesture to like indicate a gallon.
Like a gallon, like a Ziploc.
I just cracked up because, first of all, a little bag of drugs is fine, but a gallon bag, that was, he was drawing the line.
Pulls out like a full bag of cocaine, not like a little bag, a big bag. And we're like, "What the hell? You know, are you trying to get us all in trouble?" He goes, "I'm Gin Kid. I can do whatever I want. Nobody can touch me. I'm Gin Kid, you know?"
Between July and October of 2021, so this is just last year, there were 9 calls made to the police regarding out-of-control arguments between the couple. However, nothing came out of these 9 calls. Although Anna alleged physical abuse, no one was removed from the home or charged with anything. In September of 2021, a couple down the hall heard frantic knocking on their door one day. It was Anna. She was a sobbing mess, and she was asking them for help. She said Ali had taken her phone away and that he had been hitting her.
Huh.
That's all the info they tell you. Again, no charges made. Nothing happened. No one taken away. It just seems like the night just ended.
Okay.
That was it. And I want to just pause here for a moment. I know that there are people screaming right now saying, "Why didn't she file charges? What kind of woman is she? Doesn't she respect herself? What about her daughter? Why doesn't she protect herself for her child? Why didn't she leave him?"
Yeah.
And I think it's very easy for us to judge her. It's very easy for us to say all those things. I think we need to keep in mind that, number one, we can't victim blame because it's never somebody's fault for getting hurt. Nothing that somebody does or doesn't do gives someone else permission to hurt them or continue hurting them. That's not a thing. Secondly, I would like to say that if you have never been in an abusive relationship or even a mentally stressful, a manipulative relationship, that I don't think that you can really understand the dynamics. And for some women that have been in abusive relationships, but they left because they were strong enough or they had the support, that's great and good for them, but not everybody has that experience.
And we don't know everything. Like, there's so many things that happen, like little nuances of the dynamic of what actually goes on behind closed doors. Like, we just don't know.
We don't. People can be scared. People can have no resources. People can be ashamed. And, you know, it's hard for people to swallow this, but no matter how badly she was being treated, she was still in love with him.
And they had a daughter.
Right. And whether they did or they didn't, she couldn't bring herself to leave him. And that doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. So we're not going to judge her. But also, just for one second, we're human. She should have fucking left. So
we just want to scream.
Because I know I know. We can't victim blame, but also it's so frustrating.
I know.
I get it. All right. Mm-hmm. Now that we've gotten that out,
yeah,
we are going to October 18th, 2021.
Wow, that's so recent.
Anna tells Ali that he needs to move out. She finally puts her foot down and says, get the fuck out. Ali takes his things and he leaves. What Anna doesn't know is that he secretly made a copy of the house key. 3 days later, Ali returns to the apartment when Anna is out with their daughter. He ransacks the house, completely trashes it. And before he left, he installs spyware onto his 5-year-old daughter's iPad.
Weird.
Yes. Yes. And they never say what the name of this spyware is. Let's keep in mind, he did work in IT. So he's technologically savvy. He's got the knowledge. And I'm assuming that if you want to go down those dark rabbit holes, there's lots of programs out there that you can spy on people with. And so he installed this software onto the daughter's iPad, and it allowed him in live time, in real time, to monitor the audio in the apartment. So not video, but audio.
I don't know. That gives me anxiety. Like, I don't know.
Completely not okay.
Yeah.
Creepy stalker. Also, just the manipulation, the underhandedness. It's a violation, right? It feels like someone, first of all, he did break into their home, but it's almost like he broke in and it's like he didn't leave.
It's very invasive.
It's like that person hiding in your attic. It's gross.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe she felt bad for him. I don't know. Anna didn't report the break-in to the police, and she never filed a restraining order. Not that that really would help her for what was coming next. Later that day, this is October 21st, Ali was using the spyware to listen in to the sound in the apartment. And through the iPad, he could hear a man's voice in the background laughing. Ali goes berserk. He jumps in his car. He speeds across town. He storms up to the condo. He allegedly proceeds to burst in on the couple. He confronts them about what he perceives to be a romantic entanglement. Anna supposedly is sitting on the couch with her visitor, who is 29-year-old Rayburn Barron.
Okay.
Here's where things get a little, things change at some points. Ali changed his story several times about what he saw them doing. And we'll get into it later. But for now, let's just say Anna and Ray were sitting on the couch talking, maybe cuddling, maybe even kissing. But regardless, they were fully clothed and sitting up when Ali shot Rayburn 3 times, square in the chest, close range. And then he shot Anna directly in the forehead.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like an execution.
Yes. Right after shooting 2 people, he calls 911. Ali tells the operator that he had walked in, found this couple dead on the couch. He made it sound like he was just swinging by the apartment and happened to come across these 2 people shot to death. And then he hangs up on 911. You don't ever hang up on 911. And he fled the scene. Multiple neighbors in the building saw him running away, running down the halls, security cameras, the whole 9 yards, right? It's a luxury high-rise condo, right? Ali immediately drives to his daughter's school and he picks her up early. And he starts driving. He calls his mother on his cell phone and he confesses this crime to her on the phone. His daughter in the back seat, of course, she's 5 years old. She can hear him telling his mother what he did. She freaks out and he tells her something along the lines of, yes, I hurt mommy. So back at the condo, it's about 3 o'clock. The police arrive. They find the dead couple and the police quickly ID Ali and put an alert out for the car. He was caught on the highway. Thankfully, he went with the police without any harm coming to the little girl. And that's a miracle because right next to him on the passenger seat the whole time was a loaded gun. Just there, just They're in the seat. Just there while you're racing down the highway with your kid. Ali, arrested, charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder.
Sir, what is happening here? So only hearing the guy's voice just made him go ballistic? It, like, set him off.
Yes. He went crazy. And he talks about it later. So, and this is the really fascinating part to this story. Because, yes, it's fascinating that a TikTok personality ended up being a killer. And yes, I find it very interesting that he was able to, and I mean, frankly, it's terrifying that you could install this spyware on other people's electronics with like really very little barriers. And that's terrifying. But the interview that he gave to Fox 5 News is really what was the icing on the cake for me.
Wow. Okay.
The link that I'm going to put in the notes for Serial Napper, she has the entire interview on her page and you can watch it. It's not really long. It's about 15 minutes. It's worth watching.
Okay.
While he's awaiting trial, he decided to give this fascinating interview to Fox 5. And it did not go well for him. Let me tell you. He didn't listen to his attorney.
Oh my God.
Who told him, do not give any interviews.
And I said, does your lawyer know that you're speaking with us? And he said, yes. I said, what'd she say about that? He said, she told me not to talk to you. I said, okay, all right, that's interesting. I said, so then why did you choose to talk to us if that's against the legal advice? And he said, I wanted to get my side out.
Mm-hmm. He ignored that great piece of advice, gave the interview anyway. Right off the bat, the reporter asks him, did you kill her? He starts like sobbing, but like in this really dramatic fake way. And he's like, oh, don't ask me that.
Oh, please.
First of all, what did you think they were going to ask you about?
Why do you think you're there to do a Tony Montana impression? Like,
so he changes and morphs so many times in this interview. You can really tell he's unhinged, but I'm going to put an asterisk on that because you can tell that he's aware. He is not insane.
Unhinged, like, drugs?
No, because he's definitely, whatever he was on, even if he was on a shit ton of coke or whatever he was on, he's in jail and he's been in jail now for a few months. So whatever he's on, he's dried out. When he's talking, you can actually see, like, the little cogs and these little paths as he's talking. He gets wrapped up in his own narcissism.
Interesting.
And you can really see how, as the interview is going, and I mean, we've seen this before with other killers, how the question will be about his dead wife, but he'll make it about himself. You know, it's bizarre. And he'll be talking to the reporter in like a very I don't want to say normal, but, you know, sort of in a calmer tone. And then all of a sudden he's banging on the glass and like screaming. It's wild.
Weird. Like he goes through like every emotion in like a conversation.
A lot of it seems like he just was really obsessed with this idea of only I can have her, nobody else can have her. And This is what drove him nutty to the point where he thought, I'm going to kill her and I'm going to kill anybody who got near her. So you could definitely see in the interview, but I mean, definitely stretches of the interview where he's talking about himself and you can tell he's not a dummy. He knew what he was doing. I'll go through it. Several contradictions within his interview. Ali denies his drug use during the interview at first. Then literally, you watch him. A few minutes later, he says, yeah, that shit messed with my brain. It made me violent. So are you blaming the drugs or did you not do drugs? Which one is it?
Because he couldn't admit that he did it, but something made him do it.
All right. So during the interview, he does admit that he installed the spyware and that he broke into the apartment. Then he flips the fuck out in one of these moments and he starts screaming about how I heard R&B music and I heard a man's voice. And he starts screaming about how he became so upset thinking that Anna was about to have sex with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, assumptions, dude. Just because she's got a man over doesn't mean that she's gonna do anything.
Yeah.
Also, fuck off, stalker. She can do whatever she wants.
They're sitting on the couch, like, fully clothed.
Even if you walked in and she's riding his dick, that's real rich coming from a guy who everybody says was cheating on her with multiple girls and snorting coke out of gallon-sized Ziploc bags.
Oh, that's true.
Kind of calling the kettle black for you to walk in and be like, she can't cheat on me. What, after you were running around town, according to everybody?
Oh, and then blaming her for everything that was going wrong in your life that you brought upon yourself, sir.
In the land of Taco Tuesday. He's saying, you know, that it's so upsetting that she would have a man over and that he didn't want her to debase herself and she's a good woman and he didn't want her to, like, lower herself. Okay, but did you think about how you were lowering her when you were beating the shit out of her? Because I'm guessing you weren't thinking about how valuable she was as a woman, as a respected wife, and as this person you love when you were hitting her. Ali goes on to say, and he's saying this, he says, when he gets to the apartment, he says, I see them. They were nothing. It's a blur. Literally in the sentence, he's like talking about it and you can see he's like thinking about it. And then he's like, nothing. It's like all of a sudden he thought about his lawyer and he's like, nothing. I can't remember. It's a blur. It's a Jekyll and Hyde. The entire interview is like whiplash.
Weird.
Whole time I'm like, what is going on?
Like, he wears his, like, emotions. Like, you can see everything that's going on.
Yes. And the other thing is, so he says this whole thing about, you know, I walked in and I saw them. Oh, but it's a blur. I don't remember. Pump the brakes. Because did you not tell 911 that they were dead when you walked in? Now you're saying they are alive, but that it became a blur and you blacked out.
Like, you should be able to tell that difference. Hello.
Very contradictory. The reporter asks him why he went from the apartment to get his daughter. And he says, I just picked her up so I could take her to a safe location. I wasn't running.
But what about the loaded gun in the car? I don't know.
So many things. Loaded gun as you're speeding down the highway.
So many things right there.
Why did you take her out of school early? Like, why would she be in danger? Is that not a safer place for her?
It would have been fine for her to stay there while something was going on at home.
Right? And anyway, why would you think something's going to happen to her if you had nothing to do with what went on at the apartment? It made no sense.
It's not confusing, but it's so bizarre.
Convoluted.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It's just like no sense making up excuses on the fly. The other really frustrating part is that he spends a significant amount of time in the interview doing the whole woe is me bullshit. So he goes on to say, quote, if anyone's sorry about this, it's me. My life is ruined. I was about to make it big. It's right in my hands. It's not fair. And he's like having a tantrum.
Delusional.
Dude. Number one, who's to say you were going to make it anywhere? Like, okay, you had a following, but that doesn't mean you're going to be the next Al Pacino. And also, maybe it's not fair that Anna and Rayburn are dead. You self-centered piece of shit. Even if you didn't kill them and somebody said, like, well, how do you feel about the fact that those two people are dead? Why wouldn't you be like, I'm so sorry my child has to grow up without her mother. I'm so sorry that the woman I loved is dead. Instead of, oh, my career was about to take off.
Yeah, like, that's such a bizarre response because a normal person, even me, I'm thinking, I have so many questions about this daughter right now. You know, forget about the career.
Yeah, so self-centered. And when the reporter asks him straight out if he has any remorse, he says, well, I'm the one who lost the love of my life.
Not about you.
Leave her. I know I gotta leave her.
certainly, sir, yes, you are a loser. But the fact that his singular focus is on what he lost instead of on his child now being parentless in this world, like her dad's in jail, her mother's dead, and the fact that all you can think about is the fact that you can't bang models and that your TikTok career's over, that's sick. He ends the interview with, the police say that they have evidence, but I don't know. I would say now they have that interview, asshole.
I think those investigators are all going to get together, turn the lights off, grab a bowl of popcorn, and just sit back and watch.
They're going to watch that and see that there is some serious inconsistencies in your story. I mean, from what it looks like, it was so impulsive and so disorganized that I would imagine that there's forensic evidence. You know, they caught him with the gun in the seat. There's got to be a match to the bullets. Gunpowder residue.
He opened the door. He walked in.
So even if you say his fingerprints should be in there because it was his house, right? His DNA is going to be in there. But your fingerprints shouldn't be on the bullets that are inside of their bodies.
That match the gun.
And if he got arrested that just a few hours after he did it, I'm sure they checked him for residue, you know, the gunpowder residue, blood splatter, all that. I would hope. But he did plead not guilty.
Not guilty.
He is facing life in prison. I'll post a picture up and it's going to be of the two of them. Both of them look very intelligent. They look very successful. They look very beautiful, the two of them. You know, I went back and forth on, well, do I just want to post? I usually only post either a picture of the victim or a picture of the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator, whatever we want to call him. He's not been sentenced yet. However, I really feel like in this situation, I got such a sense of her being lost in all of this and her being like tangled up in this web of like a narcissistic, abusive relationship. He manipulated everything and then blamed everything on her, continues to victim blame her. So I'm going to throw in a picture of what that relationship looks like to us online. When we look at people's pictures and think like, they look so happy. They look successful. I want to be like them. You'd never fucking know what's going on behind the pictures of the people that you think are beautiful and successful.
That's true. I wonder if his wife at one point thought, because he was like, I'm the only one that can ever love you, I love you, if she ever thought, you know, he loves me so much that maybe she felt stuck, or maybe she was like, yeah, maybe he does love me so much, no one can ever love me like he does. And maybe that is why she stayed for a while until she kind of got the cojones to leave.
Maybe. I mean, it's so hard to know. There can be so many driving forces. It could be multiple things. I mean, she could have felt torn between, he must really love me, which is a very real feeling for abused victims, is this idea of, he feels so strongly about me.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to feel that strongly about me. So that must be real love.
Yeah.
And that's a really sick, twisted idea, but it is something that you can rationalize to yourself.
It's something that happens.
Absolutely. And believe me, if you're in that situation, you can make it make sense. That could have been part of it. And I don't know. It seems very sudden that she went from kicking Ali out to 3 days later, there's a man in the apartment. So yeah. I don't know if that guy was just there as a friend. They might have not been doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, he might have literally just been there hanging out. But even if she was entertaining and having some other relationship outside of this marriage, it had fallen apart. She had asked him to leave.
It was over.
It had clearly been abusive and a hot mess.
And he was gone.
And whether it's 24 hours or 24 years, you know, how you feel about how soon somebody brings somebody else in. The fact is,
she said it was over.
That's right. She wasn't cheating. I find it not believable that just from the sound of R&B music and some laughing, that she was about to bang some guy on her couch while her 5-year-old has their iPad out in the living room. She doesn't strike me as that kind of mom from everything I read.
No.
So it just seems like he jumped to a lot of conclusions.
He was like in his own head.
Yeah, he went berserk just hearing a man's voice. The jealousy and the rage prompted him to go down this crazy road. And
he was like triggered.
Yeah. But I mean, he shouldn't have had a gun to begin with. And
yeah,
clearly there were allegations of him hitting her. There were already
abuse.
Bad news. And I don't think any way you cut it right now, it looks like with the evidence, it's not looking good for you, sir.
Yeah, no. That is so crazy. I can't believe how someone digs himself in such a deep hole and they still think that they're not guilty. Like, I just want to, like, what?
So I almost feel like it's a knee-jerk reaction for criminals when they go in to plead not guilty. And I was talking about this with Ron just yesterday. And I was like, why would you plead not guilty? And he said, well, why would I plead guilty? I can change the plea at any time. Unless there's like very specific circumstances, it doesn't usually benefit me to walk in with a guilty plea. That's why usually, no matter how damning the evidence is, he's like, that's why you hardly ever hear somebody go in and plead guilty until there's a plea offer or something else on the table. So no matter how bad it looks, it's just, it doesn't ever benefit them usually unless they're caught like holding the weapon.
Yeah.
If there's like anything you could possibly stretch, anything you could possibly cast a shadow of a doubt on. Yes, that is the criminal defense world. The attorney will tell you, don't plead guilty. That's the business.
I'm in shock.
The thing that people need to realize is that trials are not actually about whether or not you did it. It's just about what the jury actually thinks, what they, if they like what they see. So if you look guilty as fuck and you go up there and you don't look good, you just look shifty, even if you're innocent, they don't like you, you're fucked.
Wow.
And when you're the juror sitting in a hot seat, that can feel really fucking heavy to think, I'm going to set this person away for life. Am I sure? Am I sure, sure?
100% beyond the reason of a doubt.
Not to tell people what to do, but if you get arrested, the only thing that comes out of your mouth other than to confirm your name and address should be, I want an attorney. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not doing a polygraph.
I'm not. Nope. Do not consent to anything. Then you just sit there with a straight face and it doesn't matter if it's 5 hours. Or 15 hours. It doesn't matter if the cops are yelling at you or if they're handing you a coffee trying to be nice.
Don't drink the water bottle that they offer you or the cigarette or the chewing gum. Just saying.
Right? They almost never just get caught straight out red-handed with anything. It's always because somebody talked.
Interesting.
And the odds just get higher the more people you work with. So that's my opinion on group projects. I fucking hate group projects. Always hated them.
That's my opinion on group projects. That's too funny. That was a good story. That's like the new Craigslist killer is the TikTok killer.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of like a side thing because it's not like he stalked his victim through the app.
Yeah.
But I really felt that it wasn't irrelevant to the story because I felt like his launch, even in his mind, into the fame, like if they hadn't moved out to California, if he hadn't thought of himself as becoming this big time star and gotten into all these drugs, like where would that relationship have ended up how it did? Like how much did that narcissism, that feeling of like, oh, look, I'm a fucking TikTok star now. That instant fame. How much did that play into? I mean, if you're the type of man who's going to hit a woman, then I truly believe then that was always in you. But
yeah,
I did feel that was a trigger in a cascade of events that just spiraled out of control. Right. It could have ended very differently if they had had some other life in Virginia, some quiet bumpkin life in an IT department.
He just did IT and she raised the kid. And
yeah, because it really sounds like after moving to the land of Taco Tuesday is when it seems like she was the first one to say, he's cheating on me. He's getting into drugs. He's spending all the money.
Yeah, that's when everything changed. Something snapped. Maybe it was the drugs. Maybe it was something that flipped, a switch flipped.
So if it had just been like, oh, this person had a TikTok account, but then they killed someone, then I would have been like, oh, that's irrelevant. But because of like the timeline and the way it like played in and how quickly it escalated.
In that interview.
That was like, that's definitely
weird.
Creepy as fuck, and definitely creepy. Felt like that played into his downward spiral.
Super creepy, super fascinating.
I'll have the interview link up there. Definitely a crazy interview. Go watch that.
For sure. Good job.
Thank you.
I'm going to go on the deep dive on this guy, and I'm going to try and find Candy also, because after the last episode, I have questions.
I have many.
Yeah.
And then, not to be an asshole, but because I love keeping you in suspense.
Oh, don't do this to me.
I can't help myself. I want to keep our listeners in suspense too, even though you're going to go ahead of me. I already know my next story. Just something for you to think about.
What?
Can you consent to murder? And I don't mean euthanasia. I don't mean like I'm dying of cancer and I tell the doctor, like, shoot me up with drugs and kill me.
Right.
Can I hand you, Stephanie, a gun and tell you, please kill me? I give you permission. And I have witnesses. Like, I have, everybody knows I have it written down. This is something I'd like you to do.
I feel like you are setting me up.
So just to think about.
Okay.
You don't have to answer, but I just want everybody to think of that idea. I just heard of it, and I thought that was a fascinating thing.
That's weird. Yeah.
Definitely was a story I had never heard of. It was an outcome that I had never heard of. When I told Ron about it, he was like, where was that? He couldn't even believe it was inside the United States. It's bonkers.
Weird.
But we'll get into it, but just that idea.
Okay.
Can you consent in the spirit of, and I'd like to say this because I feel so strongly that we should have autonomy over our own bodies. So if I feel that I have the right to an abortion and I have the right to vaccines or whatever else goes in my body.
Yeah.
So if I have a right to do what I want with mm-hmm. my body, and I have a right to, you know, as a woman, if I have kids, I plan the birth however I want.
Right.
So I plan bringing other humans into the world. Can I plan my own exit? How I choose?
Yeah.
Because it's my body.
Yeah.
So think about that. Whether that's your right as a human to do what you want with your body.
All right. Yeah. Let that percolate. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, have a lovely weekend.
Yes, you too.
All right. Bye.
All right. Sounds good. Everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.